Good evening. Our number is down quite a bit from this morning, and when we get into this time of year, it just seems like there's more and more things that sickness and things of that nature. And so let's do what we can to continue to pray for those that are sick of our number, and pray that they'll get better, and pray that the weather will stay good. Y'all be sure and pray for that. It's hard for me to pray that it doesn't snow, but I don't pray that it does. I just want to put that out there. There's a sign being passed around on various social networks. Whoever's praying for snow, stop. I hadn't prayed for snow in about 4 years now. Be sure and be praying that we continue to have the good weather that we've had to be able to get out and to come together and to be encouraged. That's one of the purposes of our coming together on the first day of the week and for our midweek Bible studies, to encourage one another, to help one another grow and love and concern for one another. And we need to be sure that we're doing all that we can with that. We began talking this morning about worship. And we looked at some of the things that we do that are acts of worship, and noted that it really depends on how we go about it as to whether or not it is truly worship. Just because it's what we call an act of worship and we go through that particular act does not necessarily make it worship to God. We can sit there and we can sing whatever song there is in our song book, and if we're not singing with a true heart towards God and our heart truly in the singing, then it's not worship to God. And if we're not trying to teach and admonish one another in these songs, then we're not accomplishing the other tasks that there is in the singing. When we read from the Word of God, we need to have that worshipful attitude of this is God speaking to us. It's not a time that we just sit there and listen to someone drone on, but we really focus on the words that are being read and think about these things. And so we need to be very careful in how we go about our worship, make sure that our worship is acceptable to God. Too many times, it seems, when you listen to brothers and sisters in Christ, they're focused on the worship that everyone else is offering. You know, they're too busy looking around at everyone else and saying, well, they weren't paying attention, or this wasn't happening, or that wasn't happening. And you know what that tells me? They weren't paying attention either, not to what was going on. You know, our worship is from our heart to God. We are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but primarily our worship comes from our heart. And so we need to be focused on God and on serving Him in a way that is pleasing to Him, not in that which is most pleasing to us. And so this evening we want to continue our lesson, and we want to continue by asking, what is our attitude toward worship? We noted in looking this morning that many people's attitude toward worship is, what can I get out of it? They enjoy these places that are filled with entertainment and things of that nature, and so therefore their attitude is, what can you do for me? And we find that even in the Lord's church, there are those that, you know, the song leader just doesn't lead songs that encourage that I like. That I'm just not getting anything out of the singing, or I don't get anything out of the Bible study. And that really comes from a standpoint of your attitude toward these things, what you're bringing to the table yourself. And as we've noted in previous lessons, we need to understand that our demeanor really speaks on how we feel about something. This is really a touchy subject today, because we live in a very slovenly society. You know, you've got the boys still wearing their pants down around their thighs, and you know, it's going across the board. Let's just dress as casual as we can. Casual Fridays have changed policies in some places to where it's just casual all the time. We don't understand business attire. We don't understand the desire to serve the Lord. And I'm not saying that we've got to all be wearing suit and tie or the best dresses and everything, but we need to be careful in how we present ourselves, because this does show God, and it shows others what we feel, how we feel about these things. We can see that posture is definitely one that denotes our attitude toward service. You know, anyone who's been in high school, you had the kids that sat in the back and they slouched down as far as they could because the last place they wanted to be was there. And you could see from their attitude, the demeanor when they sat down. And when Genesis chapter 24, there in verse 52, we see that when Abraham heard the words, he bowed himself before the Lord. And so really our attitude, our posture denote to God and to others how we feel about the things that are going on. Our clothing also presents really an attitude toward things that are going on, whether or not we have the proper respect for it. It amazes me when you have individuals that will dress up for just pure, regular social occasions, and yet you see that same individual and they won't put forth any effort at all for the Lord's church. It amazed me with my cousins, all of them having been raised in the Lord's church and have attended the church most all of their lives. When my grandfather passed away, all of them had to go buy dress clothes because not a single one of them had a dress pair of pants. And, you know, well, I've got enough respect for my grandfather. I'm going to go and dress up a little bit more for him, but I don't have enough respect for God to put forth a little bit more effort in that. And again, this is something we need to think about. David is a wonderful example of this. When David's son had passed away, his illegitimate son with Bathsheba, when he passed away and the news finally came to him, we read there in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20 that he arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. He changed from an attitude of mourning and fasting to going, I'm going to serve the Lord. And they were amazed. How could you go from this to that? You just lost your son. How can you go and do these things? And I can't do anything more for my son, but it's time for me to go to worship God, even though these things have happened. And so we need to ask ourselves, perhaps, are we careless or indifferent or even irreverent in our service to the Lord? Worship, again, is paying homage. And we learn this was a ceremony by which one acknowledges someone else as being their superior, as being their Lord. And we do this to God, and we need to have that same attitude of reverence that we should be extending towards God. And we need to stop having the attitude that worship is just something that we offer to God, and it's something we have to do so that we don't go to hell. You know, that's the attitude some people have. Well, I go to church and I attend and I sing the songs and because I just don't want to go to hell. If that's your reason for going, it's time for you to sit down and look at the Scriptures and look at your heart and look at your service to God and make sure that you're offering up service that is truly that which God desires. In Psalm 122, there in verse 1, the psalmist writes, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you're not looking forward to worship services, then there's something wrong with you. Yes, I know sometimes your brothers and sisters in Christ can make worship to God miserable. Trust me, I understand that. Been there, felt that way at times. But it's my service to God, and I need to make sure that I'm looking forward to it and doing all that I can to have a proper attitude towards worship. Because really, it comes down to that. Our attitude is going to be as to whether or not our worship is acceptable to God or not. And we must have a proper attitude. But how should we act during public worship? And to really kind of think about these things, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture that really set forth the kind of way that we need to be going about these things, principles that we need to think about as we're looking at this. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there in verse 33. In 1 Corinthians 14, there in verse 33, we read that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. We need to make sure that we're offering up worship to God that is pleasing to Him, and that we're not constantly being confused about these things. Now, some use this passage and go, okay, well, we need to pick a standard and we need to follow that standard from now until doomsday, and we can never deviate from that standard because people will get confused. Well, maybe we just need to put a little bit more thought into what we're doing and focus into what we're doing rather than following through with the rote and the rites that we've been going through and things of that nature. But we need to make sure that our worship to God is not confusing in any way, and therefore there needs to be a certain order to it. We can also see in verse 40 that everything must be done properly and in an orderly manner. When we're worshiping God, it's not a haphazard thing. It's not something you just throw together and go, okay, well, we're going to do this. And, well, we're done with that. Well, what do you want to do next? Kind of like kids when they're going out to play. What do you want to play now? I don't know. And that's the way some people approach worship. Well, how are we going to worship God? Everything must be done properly and in an orderly manner. And that should be in a manner that is pleasing to God. In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is the attitude we should have when we come together to worship God. We're fervent in spirit. We're not lagging behind in diligence. Look with me, if you would, again, in the song that we sang. I can't remember. It's the first song. What was it? 368. I knew it was 360-something. But as we sang this song, number 368, look there again in that second verse. Could my zeal no languor know? You know, a lot of times we sing songs, and this one was written back in the 1700s and some arrangements done in the 1800s, and there's words in there that we just don't use much anymore. And how many times do we sing these songs and we really, I don't really know what that word means. But that, could my zeal no lack of interest or lack of energy know? And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. That we make sure that we have the proper zeal, the enjoyment, and we look forward and we're putting forth with great heart in our service to God. That's what Paul is talking about there in Romans 12 and verse 11. And then again in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I don't know why that's not coming up. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, there in verse 10, the wise man writes there, he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. And so, not only give it your best effort, not only give it all that you've got, but make sure that you're doing these things to your might. You know, make sure that you're doing all with your might, because this is our time to serve the Lord. There's no chance, there's no second chances after death. And so with those thoughts in mind, that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, and that we should do everything in a proper and orderly manner, that we should give a zealous service to the Lord, how should we act in services? Well, let's begin by looking at how children should act in services. It amazes me sometimes when you read of various congregations and religious organizations that they have their children's worship, because they don't want the kids to interrupt the worship services. And I know there's some within the church that claim to be members of the Lord's church, and they're like, "Well, that's not such a bad idea. I'd like to get them kids out of there." You know, you find some restaurants are going to a no-kid time period so that you can go and you can eat your meal in peace without other people's kids screaming and yelling all around you. And some people are like, "Yeah, give me that time." That is in no way the way we find it prescribed in the Scriptures, that there's a separate time for kids than there is for adults to worship the Lord. Now, I believe there's a time for us to begin to look at these things, and we need to think about how we're going about these things. And I want to preface all this by saying those of us who have trained our children and they've reached a point where they behave well, and or maybe our children have already grown up, moved away, we need to not forget how much work and effort we had to put into that, how much time and patience we had to have with our children and other members of the Lord's church had with our children and the noises that they made. And we need to extend that same love, patience, and encouragement to those that are dealing with their children. And I also want to say, before I get any further, I have nothing but the greatest of appreciation for mothers and fathers and grandparents who bring kids to church and do what they can to encourage them, to help them, to train them in their service to the Lord. But there's a couple of things that we need to do. We need to be sure and begin to teach our children that this is a time to sit still and be quiet. But I want to say this is not the only time to teach your kids to sit still and be quiet. You see, a lot of times people get the idea that, well, it's just at church that we have to teach our kids to sit still and be quiet, and therefore the training period goes a lot longer than it would be if we would take advantage of other opportunities to teach our kids, now's the time when dad says to sit still and be quiet, or when mom says it's time to sit still and be quiet, sit still and be quiet. Take advantage of other opportunities. When you're sitting down with your kids to watch a television show or to watch a movie, or you're going out to a movie or something of that nature, take advantage of those times to train your kids what it means to sit still and be quiet. Trust me. Trust me. The earlier you start, I know some individuals that don't start until their kids have been 6, 7, 8 years old. You're too late. The earlier you start, the better you're going to be. Anna and I, just to use a personal, I love being a little bit older and being able to talk about these things with a little bit of experience. But Anna and I went through this discussion with Brooklyn when she was born. I was preaching full time, and she was the one that was training the kids to sit and be still and be quiet. And, you know, Brooklyn would begin to make noises. She would take her back into the back, and that'd be the last I'd see them for the rest of the worship service. And I sat down with Anna and I said, "Look, you know, I think she's training you rather than you training her. You need to teach her that this is the time to sit still and be quiet." And we're talking about Brooklyn was 3 and 6 months old. This wasn't when she was a year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. This was when she was 3 to 6 months old. And I firmly believe my mom and dad put it to practice what Connie Adams said: when the kids are acting up, take them out, wear them out, bring them back in. A lot of people don't like to spank their kids, but it works.
Amen.
It works. Now, I'm not saying that you always have to do that. Now, with a child like Jeff, Brother Norman was saying, I talk about my brother too much, but with a child like Jeff, he got taken out 5 or 6 times in one service. But we need to work at bringing our kids under control and getting them under control. And it takes time, it takes effort, it takes patience on the parents' part, on those that are sitting around. And folks, those of you who have already trained your kids,
You focus on the sermon. You focus on the singing. You focus on the praying. You focus on the song leading. All those things. You focus where you need to be and let the parents do what they're trying to do. Because you're causing an even greater distraction when that child is being a little unruly and the parents are doing the best that they can to try to get that child under control. You're causing everybody else to be distracted when you look over like this. Poor Brooklyn. She was just right in the line of fire there. They're doing the best that they can to try and bring their child under control. And if you feel like you've got something that you might could help them with that, then go to them in private and talk with them in a loving manner, remembering when you were a young parent and you had no clue. And you were trying to figure it out as you went along. Keep that in mind. But the kids need to learn that this is a time to sit still and be quiet. I had this memory brought back when we were down in Louisiana and I was holding the meeting there, and they're used to be a little boy, and now he's in college. And I just wanted to say, yeah, I remember you used to have all your army men scattered out from one end of the pew to the other. As soon as services started, your bucket came out, and you had a full battle scene going out across there. I bit my tongue. And I want to say, I'm glad to see you don't do that anymore. You know, that you've grown up and you're serving the Lord. But, you know, this is not a time for toys and just really, that's not teaching your child to give the respect that it needs. Now, I'm not saying that there's improper in bringing something for them to do or something to kind of keep their attention when they're too young to really understand. But we need to not let that go too far. This kid was already about 7-8 years old, and he still had no clue that this was a time to sit down and to really pay attention to what's going on. We need to teach our children to sit still and be quiet. We need to teach our children as they grow older, it's time to pay attention. If you don't believe me that kids can pay attention, then you just wait till one of those times with your kids, and I've had this said time and time again. Oh, we talked about such and such in the Bible class, and you should have seen so-and-so when their ears perked up and you used that name, and they're paying attention. And you need to encourage that. And as they grow older, you need to encourage them to pay attention even more. As they grow older, they learn to write, they learn to read, then encourage them to follow along in the lesson. I remember growing up, we didn't get the outlines. I wish we would have, but I remember I was instructed. I write down the main points and every scripture that Dad used. And Dad used a lot of scriptures. And sometimes I might get the first letter of the book and the chapter and verse, and that was about it. But I have a whole page. And that was my mother's way of instructing us to pay attention. That it gave us something to do. It helped me to grow in that. We need to be teaching our children to pay attention. Again, some people say that the Lord's church, you know, that we just need to get the kids out and let them go off into their own worship service, and we have ours so we can worship in peace. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. And just real quick in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Here we find the instructions of how they're to come together and to read and study from the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 31, there in verse 12, note what is said. Assemble the people, the men and the women and children and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God and be careful to observe all the works of this law. Parents, do what you can. Begin to work diligently in teaching your kids. The earlier you begin, the more diligent you are in the beginning. And when you tell them you're going to do something, do it. There's nothing worse for a child than for a parent to go, if you don't do this, I'm going to spank you. And then they do it and you go, if I don't do this, I'm going to spank you. Child just won, right then, right there. If you don't do this, you're going to go to timeout, whatever your method of punishment might be. The child wins when you say that twice. Make sure that you set up, this is how I want you to be, this is the way that you need to act. And again, take advantage of times away from the worship services to train your kids. This is not the only time to train your kids to sit still and be quiet. Trust me, your teachers of your children will appreciate that greatly, that you trained your child that there were certain times to sit still and be quiet and to pay attention. But we need to be doing that and encouraging them. But you know, it's not just the kids that we need to be thinking about. Who are the kids watching? Well, they're watching us. They're watching the adults. And let me tell you what, I've seen some really bad behaved kids, and I've seen a lot worse out of adults. And you know what? I can see why those kids are acting the way that they are because of the examples that they have all around them. And too many times we're focused on the kids and this distraction and that distraction. And again, let's have patience and long-suffering, because others had patience and long-suffering with us. They listen to our children as we try to train them. Let's extend that same courtesy to any and all that have their children here and encourage them in whatever way we can. But you know, we need to make sure that we're doing what we can, what we should. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, really it's a passage of Scripture that we might would do well to look at before we come in as adults. You know, write it down, have it at the front of your Bible, bookmark it, whatever you do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes here, he says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." That's part of the preparedness that we have in coming together to worship the Lord. And we need to be prepared. And part of that is laying aside all these things that we talk about that before the Lord's Supper. Let us lay aside all our wants, cares. Let me tell you what, if we're waiting to the Lord's Supper to lay aside all the cares and concerns of this world, we're lost. Our worship to God has not been pleasing from beginning to that point if we're waiting to then to lay aside all the concerns of the world. If you're sitting there concerned with the world through the song leading, through the praying, through the Scripture reading, through the preaching, and then you wait for the Lord's Supper to get it out of your mind, you're behind the game. This is beginning of the day. It takes preparation. It takes preparation in everything that we do. It takes preparation to be present for the worship services. It takes preparation to not only be present, but to have a proper mind for the worship services. And so first and foremost, be prepared. Begin preparing yourself. And you know what? Preparation doesn't begin Sunday morning when the alarm clock goes off. Preparation begins Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. Preparation begins getting in bed at a decent time, making sure that you're going to get enough rest so that you can be present mentally as well as physically for the Lord's for the worship services. And so be prepared. Also be present. When I say be present, I'm not talking about be a bench warmer. When I say be present, I don't mean your body's here and your mind's 1,000 miles away. Be present. Be a part of the worship services. We cannot offer worship to God that is pleasing to Him if we're not here, physically or mentally. God doesn't want service that's just done because we're supposed to. Remember, He rebuked the Israelites for that throughout just about every single one of the prophets. They rebuked the Israelites for giving God worship just because and not because they desired to do it. Be present. We need to do all that we can to be present. We understand that there are times when we are, as we used to say, providentially hindered. That is, we're hindered by God. We need to understand what that word providentially hindered means. That means hindered by God. Providentially is by God. You know, we need to make sure that we're not allowing ourselves to be absent for just any reason. Understand, snow and ice. It was kind of a shock to hear of all the closures of schools and congregations throughout Alabama and Louisiana and Texas and all these. And here we are way up in the north and we ain't got anything on the road. Yeah, there are going to be some things that might keep us from attending the services, but we need to do what we can. If we have the opportunity to go, to be there. And we need to be present because this affects the congregation. Again, not just showing up, but being a part of the worship. We also need to work towards being prompt. I don't know why both of those are jumping up there, but we need to be prompt. You know, we live in a lackadaisical society. In every job I've ever had, there's always been a majority of people that showed up late all the time. You could never depend on them to be there when they're supposed to be there. Whatever their schedule time was, they may or they may not be there. But we need to be prompt, especially, you know, you're worshiping God. How many people you reckon paid all those thousands of dollars to go and watch the Super Bowl and came in 20, 30 minutes late? You reckon any of them came in late to the Super Bowl today when they were getting ready to... No, you had people showing up there hours and hours beforehand. Why? Because that's their love. That's their desire. They're willing to sacrifice anything for that. Same thing with a lot of people around this world that were going to sit down and watch it. They get in there. They want to make sure they get in there. They're going to get every single second of it. But yet when it comes to our worship to God, it's not that big a deal. How many times we find ourselves slipping in after Bible classes have started, after worship services have started, not just every once in a while, but all the time. Amen. Folks, that's a heart problem. When we allow ourselves to continually be late for the Lord's services because we're not giving ourselves the preparation we need to be ready and to be present, we are not serving the Lord from the heart. How many times have we been in a men's business meeting and we're sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting because some of the men don't feel that it's important enough for them to be present on time? What does that say? It's a heart problem. Everybody's late some of the time. I guarantee if I look through my father's history, I'll find at least one time he was late. Have to, somewhere. Now, he did everything in his power to never be late. He left 30 minutes early, even when we lived not much further than we live right now. He left 30 minutes before time for services. Well, you never know. Something might happen to the car. Well, you can walk it in 5 seconds. Everybody's late occasionally. But when we are habitually late, it's a sign of a heart problem. And not only do we need to be present, not only do we need to be prepared and be prompt, but we need to pay attention. Pay attention. This is God. This is God we're serving. This is God we're worshiping. This is God's Word we're reading from. And it better be God's Word we're preaching from. And if I'm preaching something that's not from God's Word, well, you folks better be paying enough attention to notice it. To go, oh, wait a second. That ain't what the Bible says. The devil is out there like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's out there, he's sending people in wolves and sheep's clothing, trying to lure people in, and they love congregations that don't pay attention. But I tell you what, again, it's like the television. You know, we can sit there and we can snooze in front of the television all day long, and that TV doesn't care one bit. It doesn't care if I fall asleep during the Super Bowl tonight. It doesn't care if I turn the channel or go and walk away and do whatever else. They don't care. God does. God cares. And it's up to you, not the people around you. It's up to you whether or not you are paying attention. It's time to take our focus off of everybody else in the congregation. And if you find your attention constantly going off, well, I see this over here, or this, move forward. I'm going to give you a quick, easy answer to that. Move forward. If there's somebody in this congregation that's distracting you, or if their kids are distracting you, move to the front. There's a whole big old pew up here. Move. You determine whether or not you are focused in your service to the Lord. You can't blame it on anyone else. You have the power as an adult to train your focus on these things. And we need to be doing that. Pay attention to all the things that are going along. Pay attention to the song leader, not the cute baby. Pay attention to the scripture being read, not the person who is coughing. Pay attention to the sermon, not the child who is being dealt with by their parents. You focus on your soul, on your salvation, and you focus on your worship to God. But you know what? We also need to make sure that we ourselves are not becoming a distraction for others. Whether it be through our lack of preparation and we're dead tired because we stayed up too late and we're sitting there doing this number and causing people to, well, they just didn't sleep. You're a distraction for someone. You're a stumbling block for someone in their worship to God. And oh, the Lord was pretty severe about those that are stumbling blocks for others. He said it's better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. The little kids are watching you, especially you older kids, young adults. The little ones are watching you because you're the cool ones of the group. They're watching everything you do, everything you say, the way that you come into the Lord's services, and they want to be like you. They don't care what the old fuddy-duddies like me and others feel or think or do. They're focused on you. And we need to make sure that we're giving a good example and that we are focused in our service to the Lord. Pay good attention in all these things. Whether it be worship, whether it be our Bible study, we need to be doing all that we can to pay attention. We need to learn in all these things to truly, as the wise man wrote, whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all of our might. And if we're going to worship the Lord, let's do it with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Let's give all of our attention to Him. He deserves it. You know, one of the things that has been a discouragement to me is when we get to the invitation that is extended by the Lord and that we extend from the Lord to those of the congregation.
been time and time again where I've been in congregations where the invitation was a time for everybody to grab out their songbook, and they don't do it quietly. They make that big loud noise, ripping that songbook out and thumbing through the pages and everything. Or that's the time. Well, that's the close of the service. It's time to put on my jacket, and I'm going to make all kinds of racket and ruckus putting on my jacket. Does it really take that long to put on a coat after the amen of the closing prayer is said? Or that's the time for me to go through and to make sure that I got my purse over here and I got this over here and that over here, and we just do all these things because we're in a hurry to get out. Let me ask you a question. If the Super Bowl goes into overtime tonight, how many people do you think are going to go, oh, no, it's done. I'm through. Let's say the Steelers are down, you know, tied up there. They're going into overtime. Well, I don't care. I'm going. It was supposed to run to this time. I'm done. That's it. No overtime for me. But yet we have that way in our service to the Lord. Our worship to God is done. We're ready to move on. The Apostle Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there in verse 17, he says, in giving this instruction, and again, he's talking to them about the assemblies. He says, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And so I ask you as a congregation and as individuals, are we coming together for the better or for the worse? Are we helping others in their service to God by putting forth a good example in our own life in the way that we worship God and the way that we serve God? Or do we allow ourselves to be a distraction toward others? Or do we allow ourselves to be distracted by others? Are we coming together in worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Or are we coming together and we're performing certain acts and going, well, I worship God today. If the heart's not in it, you have not worshiped God. God has no delight in multitudes of sacrifices. He has no delight in just all. He said, I don't want your moons and your various services that you have. I don't want any of those things. He wants service from the heart. And it's up to us individually. This sermon isn't directed at anybody else. It's directed at Tim Henderson. It's directed at every member of this congregation individually. That we focus, we set the example, we encourage, and we don't discourage others from their worship to God. Perhaps you've allowed yourself to not be the example that you should be. Perhaps you've allowed yourself to be constantly distracted by the things that are going on around you instead of focusing on your service to God. Then I'm going to tell you you need to start praying to God for forgiveness. Pray to God that He'll help you focus your mind, focus your heart in service to Him. Perhaps you've been coming and you've just gone through the actions. Then you need to be praying to God for forgiveness and praying that you'll have a heart, a desire to truly serve the Lord with zeal. That your zeal, as we sang, your zeal will no languor know. It won't run out of energy. You'll remain a fervent servant of the Lord. The invitation is offered to you this evening. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, now is the time. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful in your service to God, then return to the Lord right now and as we stand and as we sing.